Hello, family. Welcome to episode 112 of The Pulse on January 21st. This is a very special day because this is basically the kickoff of our Super Bowl here at Open Door Church. And that is our New Beginnings Conference. It happens once a year at the beginning of the year, and it is the best way to start off your year, to kick off your year. And that all starts tonight. So our whole team is running around, they're scrambling, they're getting things ready, and we've just got so much in store within this house for today and for this evening, which is when it all kicks off. And so today on The Pulse, we're going to give you a sneak peek of what you can expect at the New Beginnings Conference. But before we do that, I just want to thank everyone for joining us from wherever you are tuning in from. Let us know where you're watching from. And also, if you wouldn't mind, take this opportunity to like and share this post. Be a media missionary. Perhaps someone that is watching right now needs the word that is going to be delivered today within this show. As I said, I'm going to give you a sneak peek of what's happening, or what happened last year, actually, at our New Beginnings Conference, just so you can get a taste of what's happening this year and what you can expect from our New Beginnings Conference. So take this opportunity, like and share, be a media missionary. And hey, if you're watching and you're like, whoa, what is this New Beginnings Conference? I want more information about it. Guess what? I have really good news for you. You can, number one, still purchase tickets if you are in the area or can get to Burleson by 7 p.m. tonight or by tomorrow morning. I don't know, maybe you just missed the first part in person, but you can still watch online and then come here in person on for the rest of the conference, which goes Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's going to be a great time. We want you here. You can still get tickets. Go to odx.tv and you can get tickets right there and be a part of it. And the really cool thing, listen, when you guys get tickets to our conference, it is transferable online. So if something came up and God forbid you couldn't make it here, you can actually tune in and watch the whole thing online if you have one of our tickets, if you have a ticket to this conference. But you know what? The better thing that I think you should do is join us as a member, a stage three member at odx.tv, because let me just let you in on a little secret. It's actually cheaper than buying the conference ticket, signing up as an ODX member for a month. And the 1 month membership, I think for stage three is, don't quote me now. I don't want to quote myself. Actually, I don't want to throw it out there because I'm probably going to be wrong, but listen, just trust me. It's cheaper than a conference ticket. So sign up as an ODX stage three member, because you know what that does? That'll give you access to our entire New Beginnings Conference kicking off tonight. But not only that, it gives you access to all of our content, to all of our conferences that we do, so that you can tune in from wherever you are, whether you are in your car, whether you're at home, whether you're traveling, or whether you're right here, you can tune in online. So I just want to encourage you right now, sign up at odx.tv as a stage three partner to join us. Sorry, my glasses keep falling down today. To join us as a stage three partner there and have access to all of our content. All right, guys, listen. So our New Beginnings Conference, the way that it works is, I'm just going to set the stage here for you a little bit, is we will broadcast live across our YouTube, just like I'm here, across our platforms, our worship, and then the offering. And then after the offering, it gets cut. If you're watching it on YouTube or our social media, it'll get cut. And only if you purchased a ticket to the conference online, or a ticket to the conference, which is transferable online, or if you are an ODX stage three member, will you get to see the full thing. And when I'm talking about the full thing, I'm talking about the sermon included and the prophetic ministry time. And these conferences are a massive time of God moving in the prophetic. I still remember a word that I received last year from a woman, a sweet woman who just came up to me, and she felt the Lord had it on her heart to share something with me, and it ministered to me so much, and that I just have never forgotten it. It stayed with me all year. And so I'm going into this year believing that God has something for me, and I'm anticipating what the Lord's going to do in my own life. And I believe that for every single one of you, God wants to do something in your life at this conference, and I wouldn't want you to miss out on one moment. So that being said, what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to give you a little sneak peek at some of our worship from last year, which was so incredible. And Pauline, our worship leader, has curated some incredible, she really just puts so much time and intention into the worship times at this conference, because she knows that the Spirit of the Lord is going to release something new. And so I'm going to show you a little taste of our night one from last year. And then I'm going to show you the message and the time of prophetic from last year. And this is just a little taste of what you can expect this year. Pastor Troy has prophetic voices that are joining us that are flying in from all over the country. And he's going to be bringing them up on stage and they're going to be ministering. They're going to be releasing stuff in the spirit. And guys, you don't want to miss it. I can't stress it enough. You do not want to miss it. So please join us for this conference. Again, you can go to odx.tv. You can get your conference tickets there, or you can just sign up as a Stage 3 member of our ODX family to have access to this conference and everything else that we do throughout the year. All right, guys, you ready for this? Okay, buckle up, get your heart ready to receive what the Lord has for you today. And I just truly believe that someone is going to hear from him in a major way with this. All right, guys, you can roll the tape.
There's several different themes that I'm preaching this year when it comes to the year 2025. And the first one is grace and favor, accelerated grace and favor, manifold grace, abounding grace. And you're going to be hearing a lot about that. The next one is the breath of God, a huge theme for this year. Well, I thought there could only be one theme. No, there can be lots of themes. I want you guys to give me 10 minutes and then I want y'all to come up. Will y'all do that? Will y'all give me 10 minutes? Okay. So the other one is the breath of God. The fifth letter in the Hebrew alphabet is the hey, the breath, the wind of spirit. When God breathes into a person, he gives them a distinct destiny that's separate from the rest of humanity. And he also empowers them to do heavenly things on earth. Jesus resurrected from the dead and he breathed on his disciples and he says, now I give you the power to forgive sins. Oh man, we're going to go after the breath of God tomorrow night. Another thing that is a huge theme for this year is it's the year of the open window. Last year was the year of the open door and I was all about that. It's perfect for my branding. It really worked very well with all my branding. It really did. But this year is the year of the open window. I remember years ago, there used to be a famous Christian song. It says, when God closes a door, look for a window. And I thought, when God closes a door, you don't sing that song. You don't know what you're talking about. I didn't know what I was talking about. And I apologize to Dallas Holm for cussing the radio back in the 1980s. Because what follows an open door is an open window. So the fifth letter in the Hebrew alphabet does not represent an open door as the fourth letter in the Hebrew alphabet does. The fifth letter represents an open window. Okay, what's the difference between an open door? An open door is an invitation where God Almighty invites you to come into something. What is an open window? When Jesus invades your space. Okay, we need to have hearts and homes that are compatible with the habitation of the Lord. So that it's not just visitation, but it's actually habitation this year. Our compatibility with him is all about the fear of the Lord. And that's going to be a big part of what I'm going to be preaching as well. But now, I wreck my entire sermon to tell you this story. In 1986, the first year that I got saved in May of 86. Started in full-time ministry. The following January, the Lord told me to fast the first 10 days of the year. Now, I didn't know then that our Hebrew brothers and sisters, beginning in Rosh Hashanah, believed that the first 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Judgment Day, Yom Kippur, those 10 days is when God Almighty looks at your life and says, you know, all these different things. I'm gonna look at you. I want you to get consecrated. I didn't know anything about any of that. I just know that on the Gregorian calendar, that's on the Hebrew calendar, on the Gregorian calendar, me being the bacon-eating Gentile that I am, God told me to fast and pray on the first 10 days of the Gregorian calendar. Well, I was around a bunch of prophetic people that were crazy people. We were young men. We were either preaching or fighting because we went to rough places. We were crazy. I'm telling you, if y'all think I'm crazy now, I'm pushing 60 years old. Y'all should have seen me when I was pushing 20. This is the mild, refined, and cultured version of me. And we were nuts. We were nuts for Jesus, man. When I got saved, we were crazy people. And so I fasted the first 10 days, and we fasted, and we prayed, and we sought the Lord. And since that time, it has been my tradition, or as was my manner, as the Bible says, to fast the first 10 days and to seek the Lord and to have other strategic times of fasting throughout the year, Rosh Hashanah being one of those. And so this year was no different. So on the first day, it was actually January 1st, and I'm fasting, and then boom, we got a big prophetic marker of we have a terroristic attack in the United States in Sin City and Bourbon Street. And literally, the first thing I want to say about that, and Josh nailed it, is while there's all kinds of unredeemed values in that, the redeemed value of that is this: Jesus says he's going after addiction. We covered some of that tonight, right? Sin City, which is mostly sexual sin and money sin, and Bourbon Street. It's like, I'm coming after all that mess. Okay, the other side of that told me too that, okay, on the very first day of the year, if we're consecrated and if we're looking and we're believing and saying, God, please speak, and if God speaks, or if there's something in the headlines, which is what my book is all about, being able to hear God speak through the headlines of your own personal life or through the major events or even through historical events, was there a word in all of that? We ought to be able to say, okay, this is the deal. At the first day of the year, and we still got another 364 coming, there's two terroristic attacks. First bull out of the chute, the lion government gets up and says, this isn't terrorism. And they immediately start trying to change the narrative. They only want you scared if they're scaring you. And I can preach on that all day long and just tell you this. The reason why this mess happens all over the world is because a global crisis requires global sanctions. And national chaos requires sanctions. And so it works to the benefit of a globalist antichrist spirit, which you and I have to have a completely different spirit about. And we got to be very grown up in the day that we're living in. So if we're looking at first bull out of the chute, man, we got two terroristic attacks. And man, it's terrible. And I mean, tragic and horrible. Like, what else is going to happen? This is what you need to know. If you know the numbers, you know that it is the year of the double five. And what is that? It is abounding grace. You know that five is a number that represents grace all the way through the Word of God. And if you look at any of my books on numbers, I have entire page after page after page of biblical examples of five representing grace. And it just is. But as my good friend Darren Stott pointed out at the ODX meeting that we had earlier, by the way, hello ODX peeps. Yeah. So great to see you cats. Darren got up and stole a message from AI and said, I need to point out that everybody thinks that grace is just all about unmerited favor. And okay, it's not the worst thing I've ever heard if that's what you think, but if I can just please add a whole nother layer to that. It is actually God-given ability to overcome something. So if you see two terroristic attacks on the first day of the year, here's the word from the Lord. In the midst of that scary thing, you got to be able to hear God speak. And what God Almighty, I believe, is saying for this hour is this: where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. It happened in Sin City and on Bourbon Street. Where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. We're talking about compound grace, or the momentum of grace that builds and builds and builds and builds and builds. So then you cross a line you've never been able to cross before. You meet a new goal that you've never been able to meet before. The Spirit of God comes upon you. Wow. And then it's grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Another huge word that I would like to give you concerning that is this. If you were in the military and I got on the squawk box and I said, hey, can anybody hear me out there? Everybody copy? Do you copy? If you heard me loud and clear, you would say 5x5. 5x5 in the midst of warfare. This is a warfare year. Don't think it ain't. It's a warfare time. Guys, the hostages are coming home in Jesus' name. There's a new sheriff in town, and the hostages are coming home in Jesus' name. They're coming back. But in the midst of a warfare time, when you say 5x5, it means you are receiving loud and clear. You can't even walk in obedience of the Lord if you don't hear God. Amen. This is a year that you're going to hear the Lord loud and clear. Everybody say, yeah, that's me. So now I'm going to take you into a weird place. Everything that I've said so far and I've been a part of is very traditional, but I'm about to show you something. I'm about to tell you something I've never heard. I've never heard of what I'm about to tell you. And I want to tell you, it's cool to have an experience where Jesus, where you're like, dude, I've never even heard of that. Like, I've never heard of that. I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know God did that. May you have that happen to you over and over in Jesus' name. This year, I had it happen on the 4th of January. Now, you cannot imagine how bad I've been wanting to tell this story. Since the 4th of January, I've been like, So I have a creek bed. And I don't know a lot of people that have land like I have. I don't know a lot of people that have topography like what I have. I don't know a lot of people that can actually say that they have a ranch. And I have a couple of ranches. And they're just beautiful. In their own way, they're beautiful. My place out in Glen Rose, I'm telling you, I love my place. I walk around and wonder. We moved there in 2016, and I still walk around, and sometimes I'll just start crying and say, Lord, look at what you've done. Look at what you've done. How did you do this? This is nuts. I was the little boy that lived in the trailer house, an old trailer house that I thought was a choo-choo train. That's what I thought. Like, where do you live? In the boxcar? True story. Hey, Troy, where do you live at? Where do you live? I live in the boxcar. It's a choo-choo train. No, that's a trailer house from the 1960s. So I have a creek, and I just think all the time, I think, you know what, man, God, if I was going to give one of my kids a very special gift that most people don't have, I would hope that they would love me in those places. And I've got two creeks on my property, and I went down, and so I go down there and I seek the Lord. And sometimes I just get a big giant fire, and I start crying out to the Lord, and God will show up in the fire. Like, how does he show up? I don't know. I don't know how he shows up. I don't know. It's not that weird, but sometimes it is. Darren Stott's been with me. I told him, I said, take a picture of that fire, and I guarantee you, you'll see an angel in it. Did you see an angel in it, Darren? Am I making that up? Because I took City Boy out to the woods in the middle of the night. And he was so close to me walking around in the dark. I'm like, back off, weirdo. This ain't Seattle. He's like, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? I'm like, we're going to get a fire. We're going to worship God. I mean, come on. Darren. I love Darren Stott. I love him. He's so funny. So we got a fire going, and I'm like, let's just cry out to Jesus. We're just like, Jesus, we love you, Lord. And man, we're walking around this fire. We're just crying. Come on, man, let's just cry out to him. Let's just see what happens. And I told him, I said, bro, bust out your phone, start taking pictures of that fire and watch. And dude, the flames are like, I told you. It's like, why would God show? Oh, no, there's nothing biblical anywhere that we could imagine where the Spirit of God shows up in a fire. I mean, that would be like crazy. Oh, no, it's there, but let's keep it in the book because it's too wild to have anything of the kingdom in our actual lives. I mean, it's never going to pass the church board. Y'all don't want to mess with me, man. I'm trouble. I'm telling you, I'm bad. So I'm out there by myself crying out in a creek bed, just yelling Jesus. And it wasn't like a really, I don't know. Look, I hadn't eaten in 4 days, so it wasn't like, rah! I'm just out there going, oh, Jesus. God. Jesus. And I got a screaming headache, you know, and I'm crying out to God. And then the Lord would bring people to my mind. And then I would call out their name. And then I would like, okay, I got a new burst of energy. And I'd start walking around in my creek bed crying out to God. Leanna goes to one of my usual spots of prayer way out in the woods, and she don't see me, and she's out there going, I wonder where Troy is. And she hears me yelling across the 20-something acres, and she goes, oh, he's over there, that weirdo. So she goes to the woods, she comes in there, and she finds me, and we pray together, and it was beautiful. And I mean, it's just beautiful, and we made declarations. We prayed for y'all, by the way. We prayed for this night, this conference. We prayed for y'all. We prayed for all of our partners. We prayed for our kids, all those things. So she goes, okay, I'm going to leave. So I go into the third hour of prayer. I've got a Saturday afternoon. Might as well. That was Saturday, the 4th of January, which is also my son's birthday, Benjamin Allen Brewer, and my grandson's birthday, Barrett Allen Brewer. My firstborn son and my firstborn grandson were both born on the same day. So, which, you know, I don't know. It's kind of like something weird going on with numbers. I don't know. So I'm like, okay. I am sitting there, guys, and I'm minding my own business, and what I'm about to tell you is the truth. And it's okay for me if you don't have a grid for this, because I didn't have a grid for it. And I can tell you that after this event took place, I was so stupefied by it and didn't know how to consider it that I went to my barn and I played my pinball machine for 2 hours. I didn't fall down on my face and worship God for 2 hours. I just went and played pinball. Like, I don't even know how to think about that. Ding, 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 ding. Like, I had no idea. Here's what happened. I'm praying, third hour prayer, minding my own business. And all of a sudden I hear this, kapok. And man, it made me jump. And I went, what the heck was that? And I look, and this boulder that my, it's solid boulders. I'll show you some pictures here within a few minutes. The rock split. And I thought, and it made me jump. And I thought, some kind of weird atmospheric pressure down here in this daggum creek. New cold front must be coming in and made the rock bust apart. I did not recognize it as the Lord. It didn't feel like Jesus. There was no stained glass. You know, there was no amazing worship that went with it. I didn't get the heebie-jeebies, nothing. It was just kank, like, whoa, man, that rock broke. That's crazy. And then I started thinking, I wonder if that goes on all the time, and I just never realized that. I'm about to be 60 years old, and I'm like, I didn't realize rocks just spontaneously broke. How have I missed that? That's crazy, stupid. And then I'm like, yes, Lord, please move. Oh, God, move in a great way. Bam, another rock breaks. And I went, oh, dang, this place is dang near dangerous. There's like some kind of moisture in the rock or something that's splitting the rock. And like this time of year is nuts down here. And I'm like, please move, Jesus. Oh, God, move in a great way. And then it happened. A whole bunch of rocks split in half at the same exact time. And this is what it did. This is what it did. It went, cack, cack, dead, cack, cack, cack. It was in a straight line, and it started up yonder, crack, crack, dead, crack, did a crack. And I was like, what the? And I jumped up. And I was like, this might be the Lord. Now look, sometimes my squirrel cage turns slower than what it should. I give you my word, these rocks cracked, and they cracked at a cadence. And in just a second, while I was thinking about the crack, crack, that crack, did it crack? And I'm looking at the rocks, and they're split. And I thought of the cadence of the cracks, and I immediately realized they were syllables, and then I heard a voice in it. And this is what it said. Triumph in the zeal of the Lord. It said, triumph in the zeal of the Lord. I heard the voice. And I was like, yo, that's something right there. Like, dude, when the rocks cry out, it's a big deal. The Bible says in Psalm 78 that he splits the rocks in the wilderness. Matthew chapter 27, it gives a great example of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when it talks about that, it says the rock split. When resurrection power shows up, the rock split. I have a whole bunch of scriptures that I don't have time to do that, but Jeremiah 23:29, he says, my word is like a hammer that breaks the rocks into pieces. We know in Luke chapter 19 that Jesus says, hey, if you don't do this, I'll make the rocks cry out. I've heard the rocks cry out. I've heard it. I've heard the voice. And it said, triumph in the zeal of the Lord. Okay. This was so weird to me. And I thought, I've never even heard of anything like this before. I've never heard of anybody out praying and rocks around them started breaking. Now, I've read about it in the Bible. You know, Elijah, he goes to seek the Lord in a cave. The wind or the breath of God shows up and breaks the rocks. The rocks rent. We know that when Jesus was on the cross and he died, the Bible says the veil was rent in two, it says. And then it says, and the rocks broke. And then folks started rising up from the dead. That's pretty extreme. This actually happened to me. Now, if you're like, Okay, are you imagining this? Okay, I want to show you. So before I went to play pinball, I busted out my phone, and I was like, okay, I have to document this somehow, some way. I want you guys to look at this picture. Let me show you another one. 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 I don't know how many of these we have. Some of these are the same rock, but that's okay. That's the same rock. Okay, they're split down the middle. Is this not my imagination? I want to show you. I have a video where I'll show you this video. Oh, it's going on? No? Okay, well, I don't guess we have the videos. Wow, y'all don't have the videos. Okay. No big deal. Just most important part of the whole night. Should have two videos is what you should have. It's really not a very impressive video either. It is not the actual event happening, but it's me going, okay, there's my chair, and there's where it started right over there, and then it came right through here, and it went right through here, and it did this, and it went right up here. I'm not making this up. I was not planning on preaching this. This was not planning on, I already had a word on grace. I've already got a word on an open window. I've already got a word on the voice of God. I know those words. But this came to me on January the 4th. On January the 4th. And the rocks split, and the voice of the Lord showed up in the splitting of the rocks, and the cadence turned into syllables. And he said, triumph in the zeal of the Lord. I want to ask the band to come up here, and I want to ask my friends to come up here, if you would. And while they're coming, let me tell you that I want you guys to look up the word triumph. And I also want you guys to look up, the zeal of the Lord scriptures. Tomorrow night, I'll go over more of this and we'll unpack this. But I don't think that you can learn this phrase enough. Everybody say triumph in the zeal of the Lord. The zeal of the Lord is when the performance of God shows up. The zeal of the Lord is when God Almighty brings a performance of the things. You guys know in the book of Isaiah where it says, hey, in the book of Isaiah where it says, concerning his government and of his peace, there shall be no end. You guys know that? The rest of the scripture says, for the zeal of the Lord shall perform this. It's a God-given grace and ability of performance, of getting it done. A revival, if you would. Of we're going to get this thing done. We're going to move this needle forward. We're actually going to do this. Are you girls waiting to talk to me for some? No. You're ready to pray. You're ready to receive from the Lord. I mean, I know it. You guys are awesome. Stand right there. Rock on. I'm surprised nobody tackled y'all. I mean, y'all look so threatening. Everybody stand up. All my friends, you guys come up here on the stage, if you would. Now get up here with me. Triumph in the zeal of the Lord. Triumph in the zeal of the Lord. Triumph in the zeal of the Lord. That's not a phrase that I would come up with. That's not how I talk. Brother, come up here, Schwartz, but don't stand next to me. Stand like over there so nobody realizes how tall you are and how short I am. No, I tell you what, just go back a little bit. Stand back a little bit. I want you to look at what this, a little bit further. Wait, we're almost there on camera. Okay, look. I want you to look. Hey, Brian, you got to look this way. Look, we're doing this for the camera now. You got to look at me, right? Do you see what's happening? Do you see like we're both the same height? Brian.
Yes.
Do you have a word from the Lord?
I have a word.
Now, before you bring this, come up here. This is what it actually looks like.
It's going to be okay. triumph in the zeal of the Lord, my friend.
I'm trying. Triumph
in the zeal of the Lord.
Go.
Listen, you mentioned this, and we've been talking about this. God spoke to the Israelites in the wilderness. He said, I'm about to rain down bread, manna from heaven. But he goes on and says that I might test them to see if they will stay in alignment. We are moving from a season. God is moving us from training us and testing us with lack into testing us and training us in the mindset of obedience, of abundance. I'm telling you, this is the hour to align, because he is going to train you and teach you and test you in the ways of abundance. Do you hear what the Spirit's saying? We're moving from being tested by lack to being tested by abundance. And so, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we lift our hands and our hearts to you, and we agree with your word. We line up with your word right now, and we say, test me in this, oh God. Test me in abundance. Test me in abundance. Train me in abundance. I receive your word for this hour, for my life, for my finances, for my family, for my business, for every single part. Start testing us with abundance like never before, in Jesus' name.
All right, come on, you're up next.
Come on, Benjamin Diaz, pastor, let's go. Go, go, go.
I release Genesis 26:12 says, when Isaac planted his crops that year, he harvested 100 times more grain than he planted, for the Lord blessed him. And I, this is like the most generous group of people that I've ever been exposed to, because, you guys give so selflessly. And I feel like the Lord was saying, like, Open Door Church and the leadership and all the people that are partnering with, Troy Bird Ministries, give in such a selfless way and have been for so many decades, to give to people that they might not even ever meet in their lifetime. And that is the most selfless way to give. There is absolutely no contact, nothing. And so there's people that have been giving that for decades and decades. And the Lord's saying, it is time for you to do what it says in 2 Peter 1:5 says, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. And some of you are about to receive harvest. So I just feel this is a year for a lot of harvest, for a lot of you that have been just giving selflessly for so many years. And the Lord says, if he can get it through you, he will continue getting it to you. And there's so much more coming your way, because he can trust you with it. And you just have such a precious group of people, Pastor Troy, because, you know, they're changing the world with you right next to you. And so I release harvest 100-fold this year in Jesus' name. And I encourage you to respond to the promises of God that are for you, to have an expectation for this year, for above and beyond, more than you could think of or imagine, in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen. Outstanding. Outstanding. Who's next? Who's got a mic? Chad Runge? You got one? Come on, get up there.
I've been reading in Genesis to begin the year, and there's a scripture where it talks about Isaac going and redigging wells that his father had dug, Abraham. And Brian and I have been talking. Brian's a lifelong friend of mine as well. And Brian was talking about the promises of God this year and what was just spoken about promises. Some of us, this is a word for myself included, have been given promises that we have not seen fulfilled. In this year of five times five, I just believe that we're going to go back like those wells, and we're going to see those wells opened, and we're going to see those wells abundant exponentially. So, Father God, I just release that word, that whatever wells, whatever promises, God, that you have given us before, God, they are coming back, and they are coming back 100-fold. And we just believe that, Father God, that those promises that we've been clinging to, you're going to bring it to fruition this year, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Jamie Lynn Wall now. Come on, Jamie Lynn.
Actually, this morning I heard the Lord say that this is the year for the open womb. And I don't know why the church gets so offended that we would tell somebody your womb will be open in Jesus' name. But can we be a church and Christians that believe that God is the one who opens and closes the womb? And I don't want to take this lightly, because I know people in here and people online, you may be struggling and just believing and hoping, and time has gone and time has gone, and you haven't seen the fruit of this word yet. But I am looking in your eyes right now, and I'm saying this is the year of the open womb. My God has been faithful in your life. If he's done one thing that you can say thank you for, you can believe that he can do this. He is bigger and better than you can ever ask for or imagine. So, Lord, I thank you that you, Father, are a good Father. And you want us to be fruitful and multiply. And I speak to the wombs in the room, and I speak to the wombs online, and to those who will hear this played back later. And I speak to your womb, and I say life. Everybody say life in the name of Jesus. Life in the name of Jesus. Life come forth in the name of Jesus. You are not barren anymore. Hey! Let the well and the womb open in the mighty name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Tina Pugh.
I do believe that God is healing addiction tonight. And I want to tell you that I know that addiction is not something that people wanted to get into. The root of addiction is pain, and the addiction is the symptom. And so I just want to break shame off of everyone struggling with that right now. And so, Jesus, I break shame off of anyone struggling with addiction right now. And I also want to pray against mental torment and mental illness, because many, many times we're trying to silence the pain and the mental torment that's happening. And so, God, I just come against all mental torment and yes. mental illness right now in the name of Jesus. You said that we are renewed by the transforming of our mind. And so, God, we just lay hands on our own heads and we say, be renewed, be healed, yes. neural pathways, be healed, endocrine systems, bodies, be healed right now from the tracks and the damage caused from addiction. And God, we also ask for relationships to be restored, that as people are healed, that their relationships will be restored, and that you will heal families, and that you will just do a new thing. In Jesus' name, we thank you so much for what you're doing.
Amen. Come on, come on. Pastor Darren Stott. All come right. on. Jesus.
Dear Lord, give me a word. How many know that faith comes by? Yep. So it's very important that you get a word from the Lord. Amen.
I know.
And I mean directly from the Lord. Amen. Here's what happens. If we get our words from people, but not from the Lord, it's kind of the sin of idolatry. And we can become functional Catholics, going to human mediators, trying to get something from a human mediator when the Lord wants to give something to you. Now, I do actually have a word for you, and I'm going to release it. But it's very important that first you get a word from the Lord, especially before you open these envelopes. And I'll tell you why. Because when you get a word from the Lord for yourself, it becomes the lens by which you can take other words that are being released, and the words that are being released corporately to the body become an acceleration factor. But you have to have a word for you, because that's your promise, and you have to get a promise directly from God. So this is what I want you to do. Just forget about me for a second. Just close your eyes and just say, Jesus, I don't have all year to get my word. Just say, Jesus, I don't even have all weekend. I have expectation. Don't be shy. Just say, I've got some expectation to hear directly from you right here. I said right here, right now, not tomorrow morning, not tomorrow afternoon, right here, right now. I believe tonight I'm going to get a word from the Lord, for me, for my family, for my marriage. Hallelujah. Now listen, just believe him just for one word, okay? Just believe him for one word. Okay, just listen. That That's not your imagination. That's Jesus, because he loves you and he's speaking to you tonight. Did you get it? Did you get your word? All right, so now you have an accelerator. When Pastor Troy leads us into opening these, you're going to see how your word from the Lord harmonizes with this acceleration factor. Because the Lord is about to multiply. And I tell you, all his promises are yes and amen.
Hey, look, I wanted to hang on, say it. Let's do it right now. You want to? Let's do it. Hey, man, you just now heard the Lord, right?
Yeah, I got my word. Do you have your word? Don't open it until you have your word from the Lord. Is that good?
Wait, I want to pray over you. I want to pray over you. You got it? Is there anybody in here that doesn't have it? Say, help me. I got to have one. Y'all find these. There's a lady right there that snuck into the building that didn't pay. And I want y'all to give her. I'm just teasing, honey. I don't think that. I'm just teasing. She's like, no, I paid. No, I'm just teasing. Wait, is there anybody else that needs one? So there's somebody over here. Listen, I want you to get one of these. Right on. There's a brother right back there. Somebody else, just keep waving your hand and say, hey, I need one of these because I don't want to leave you out. Does everybody up here have one? Okay. Paul's got his. Right on. Right on. You're right on. Go ahead and get it. Gabe, I'm still going to hear from you and Paul here in just a minute. All right. Okay. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you speak and confirm your word that you've been speaking to us. God, open the seals and release your scroll into our life in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, guys, let's do this. I wish y'all could see yourselves right now. Just make it holy. Just make it holy. I don't know what words you got us between you and the Lord. Just make it holy. Jesus. Gabe Perot, come here. Can you pray over this moment or say something in the midst of everybody just now receiving their word? Yeah, how was yours? Yeah? Wow. This brother's a good friend of mine. We did a podcast this week. Brother was in a coma for 18 days, head split wide open, brain done, dead, and was with Jesus the whole time. And in heaven, he was there for thousands of years. But here it was, if we can even call it thousands of years, he was there in a different kind of time frame than the 18 days that they were looking at his lifeless body. And I know that just release the presence for just a minute. Just do what you do. Just
Father God, right now, I pray for everyone with a long-standing addiction that they've never been able in their own ability to get free from. And right now, I encourage them, actually. I saw the word addiction, and it was linked to the spirit of rejection.
Oh, that's...
And for many of you, you've been doing your best, and I mean everything, to get out of this certain addiction. You've poured everything into it. And you find yourself day in, day out, questioning even your own identity because you have struggled with it for so long. And it is like a part of your brain that you never have even been able to figure out. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord speaking over you tonight that it has been something that has passed your conscience because it was a void place of identity. And it was actually such pain that you went through at a young age that you weren't even barely aware of. For many of you, it's even a curse that has been on your family that's run through the line of your father. And right now I hear your heavenly father speaking over you. You are my accepted son. You are my accepted daughter. And you are free in the name of Jesus. It's time to enforce the hostage deal. The price of your freedom has been fully paid in full. Jesus didn't just die on the cross for you 2,000 years ago. He's actually still continuously to this very day pouring out his blood on your behalf, thinking about you and you alone. You weren't his second option. You weren't his plan B. You weren't his last resort. You were actually his first choice. See, the Bible says in Ephesians 1:4, even before God made the world, he loved you and chose you in Christ to be holy and without blame before him in his sight. So if he made you holy and without blame before you even committed all the sins, even in foreknowledge that you would do everything you would do, if he created you to be holy and righteous, and then he still was crucified after you were a sinner, after you made all your mistakes, you can start to see the reality of how if the past you're forgiven, if the future you're forgiven, if the present you're forgiven, almost like you're free. Are you guys getting this? It's time to lay aside your awareness of your mistakes and your timeline and your abilities and your addictions and your pain and your abuse and your rejection and all the things that haven't worked out in your life. And it's time to just lay them all at the feet and trade with Christ himself. So Father God, I pray over every single person right now tonight. I thank you, you planned this night before they even were born on this earth. And I thank you for your freedom anointing flowing right now. I thank you for the truth that is breaking the chains of bondage of addictions in the name of Jesus. I thank you every son in this place right now knows how accepted they are. They can no longer be rejected when they see how accepted they are in your blood. I pray for every daughter. I thank you they know who their father is tonight. And they know what their father thinks of them. They know what their father says of them. They are not bothered at all from the opinion of anyone else. So in the name of Jesus, I also pray for the three people here tonight that were actually considering committing suicide. And there's more of you than three. There's much more of you than three, but I'm talking about three specific people. I'm not going to call you out. You know exactly who you were. You looked at yourself in the mirror even this week, and you even said to yourself that this was your last week. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying over you right now that your life matters so much more to him than you realize. And as much as you may question your value, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying over you right now, you are precious in my sight. So Father God, I pray right now, and I break the spirit of depression and suicide in the name of Jesus Christ.
Broken.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Father, I pray you fill them all with great hope that they see their value and they see how precious they are. You died just for them.
Come on.
Your blood was actually made for them.
Jesus.
Your blood speaks of them. So, Father God, we release, we all agree for their release into your hands, God.
Come on.
And the enemy will never snatch them. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Powerful. How many of you guys felt the weightiness of the presence of the Lord? You didn't miss that. All right, I want to ask my friend Paul Wilbur. Do you have a quick word, brother? I know this is a prophetic dude. I know you got a word to drop on us. I'm so happy you're here. It's good to see you, man.
It's a blessing. In fact, we just put a bid on a house today to move right here. God didn't give me these boots and hat to live in Florida. We did. We put our name on a piece of land in Fort Worth, Texas. Special place. Special place. Special time. We've heard a lot tonight about the word addiction. And I'm standing on the front row saying, thank you, Lord. You delivered me. There's no addiction in my life. And I heard, you know, there may be just a little bit of lingering bondage to something. But I want you totally free. Addiction, the Lord spoke to me in the front row, is like a waterless pit. No life, no hope for tomorrow. The only way you get any sustenance is if someone drops it into your hole. What do you do if you're caught in a hopeless place? 911. 911. Listen to this. Zechariah 9:11. I'll set you free from the waterless pit. Lord, where's the hope for me? What do I need to do? He says, as for you, because of the blood of the covenant that I have made with you, I will set you free from the waterless pit. I will set you free from the waterless pit. He says, so return to your stronghold, you prisoner of hope. I'm a prisoner of hope tonight. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So return to your stronghold. What is our stronghold? The name of the Lord is a stronghold. The name of the Lord is a strong tower of safety. So call on the name of the Lord. And he says, because of the blood of the covenant that I have made with you, I will set you free from the waterless pit, you prisoner of hope. Hallelujah. Say this with me. Say this with me. I am a prisoner of the hope. Of the blood of the covenant that you have made with me. And because of that hope, I return to the fortress. I return to your name. I call on the name of the Lord.
Call upon the name of the Lord.
And you set me free. You set me free.
Set me free.
And those whom the sun sets free are free indeed.
Here, Darren. Friends, I want to, in closing here tonight, I want to give, there's a couple things that we got to do here. One is this. I want to release you guys to be able to get prayed for if you need personal prayer. I mean, look at these prayer warriors. These guys want to get you. They want to get you. So here's what I want to say. As I continue to talk here with there's something else I got to do. I have to announce how much money we made tonight. Can I just go ahead and throw it out there and tell you? It's $39,235.59. That's on top of the ticket sales that you guys bought. That's on top of everything else. So that's, you know, I can rescue so many kids with that. We can do so much with that. Josh, you were telling me that you had a word. He's got his mic that he had right there in front of him. There you go. It's on now. You got to help me close. Please have mercy on me and don't come up here and preach all night. Do you hear me? Come here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Okay. Yeah, right on. What came to you while you were standing over there a while ago?
Huh?
What came to you while you were standing over there a while ago? Okay, wait, can I ask you, before we go into a holy moment, can you button that shirt? That Burt Reynolds patch is killing me.
Sorry. We don't need any more emails.
Sorry. No, you don't have to button your shirt. I'm just
teasing.
I know you're not trying
sensual.
To. I know. I'm sorry. I had a mere moment of weakness. I want to change the atmosphere just a little bit because what's real is tonight there's been some heavy words and I want you to take it on. That word of freedom that Paul just now gave, every single one of those, it was like a, I don't know if you caught it, but it was like a procession of words. All you guys that bought tickets, you can go back and you can watch this tonight. You can go back because it'll be available to you on ODX and you'll be able to watch it. Catch these words and go, that's my word, that's my word, that's my word, that's my word, that's my word. The anointing. When Gabe was up here, the anointing, like, whoa, 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 whoa. We were back there laughing about it. When my sister, Crazy Miss Walnow, the crazy one out of the bunch, right, was up here, who I love with all my heart, we were all just like, oh, man. When Tina Pugh, every single one of them, there was a different kind of presence of the Lord and a word from God. Can I just tell you, rocks are splitting. Rocks are splitting, man. Rocks are splitting. It's actually happening. That's what the word of the Lord does. So what did you have, man? I want us to hear.
It's funny that you would call me up after you shared how much money was raised this evening, because I really believe the Lord wants to break off a spirit of poverty in this room. And it's a generational thing of poverty. You see, Troy said it earlier. He said he was raised in like a boxcar trailer house. You still think like you live in a boxcar trailer house. See, he doesn't think like that anymore. He doesn't think like that. He thinks like a guy who has two ranches and flies around on a jet every once in a while. Wanting the favor of God. I've never seen the favor of God on somebody like him, except me. Except me. When I played for President Trump, the first person I called after I played at the inauguration was him.
Hey,
do you know why? To rub it in. That's all.
Dude, so, you had to rub it in. I was literally in my barn in Glen Rose, Texas, watching them on the internet. He was doing the inaugural ball of Trump in 2016. And I was watching them going, oh my gosh, these guys. And then the phone rings, and I was the first person he called. He's like, you're not going to believe it, man. You ain't going to believe it. Oh, it was one of the greatest moments of my life, honestly.
And I just want to speak blessing over you and break off that spirit of poverty, because you think that I didn't grow up a wealthy person. Troy did not grow up a wealthy person. I'm sure many of the people on this stage did not grow up wealthy people, weren't raised with money, things like that. You think that because there's a place on a platform that somehow we're different. I don't know what you think. I just know that... the spirit of poverty needs to leave this room in the name of Jesus. You need to have an expectancy from the Lord, and you need to learn and understand how to walk in His favor. My wife and I have never wanted for anything. When we started a ministry after taking a trip with Pastor Troy, we have never worried about where finances were going to come from, because the Lord just always did it. We just said yes to things. We watch Pastor Troy and Leanna. They say yes to things, even if they don't know where it's going to come from. Guess what? Shows up. The Lord wants you to live this way. He wants you to walk in His favor. And there's a difference between being like rich and wealthy. You understand? Like, there's difference. And wealthy is, it's a condition of your heart. The Lord, He knows and sees your heart. But you have to get out of that spirit of that mindset of poverty so that the Lord can trust you with the money He wants to give you. There's nothing wrong with the money. It takes money to build the kingdom. It takes money to brush your teeth in the morning. It takes money to build the kingdom. This, God's favor is on this. If you sowed a seed tonight, I believe the Lord saw that and he wants to honor that.
I heard God speak in 2016. I was driving down the road. I had Leanna was with me. And we were driving down the road. The Spirit of the Lord came into our vehicle. Leanna heard God speak. I heard God speak. And what the Lord said was this: you will never be poor again. And it was like poverty left me. I mean, and I felt it when it left, bro. I felt it.
It's a thing.
It is like a real thing. And I had no idea.
Demon.
I had no idea. I felt the spirit of poverty leave me. I felt it. All right.
So, Lord, I just thank you.
Jesus.
I thank you for your favor on this house. I thank you for your favor on the people in this room. I thank you for the people that have been faithful. They give faithfully, Lord. And I thank you that this year, that abundant grace would come upon their home, would come upon their lives. Lord, I thank you for testimonies in this church of new houses. I understand when I tell you this, I'm not talking about stuff. I'm not talking about stuff. I'm not talking about blowing your money on junk. I'm just talking about you having it to blow. You understand what I'm saying? The Lord, I just thank you that bank accounts would double in the name of Jesus. I just thank you that people would have more than enough. I want to tell you this. I hear the Lord. When I didn't have money, I thought about it a lot more. So when people tell you that you're greedy because your wealthy people are greedy and all they think about is money, that is not true. That is not true. When you're broke, all you think about is money. Not when you're wealthy. Elon Musk does not sit around and wonder how he's going to pay for gas. So, Lord, I just thank you. I thank you. I thank you that there will be testimonies of bank accounts doubling, new jobs, promotion in the name of Jesus. You have more than enough. Lord, we just thank you for every person in this room. I thank you that just like that spirit of poverty left Pastor Troy, that it would leave anyone in this room that has been carrying it for generations, that your parents were poor, and so therefore you walk in that. And you think, that will never happen to me. That's not going to happen. That's going to happen to you in the name of Jesus.
Okay, I just got a word. This isn't your year just to get a word from the Lord. We're going to be hearers and doers. Amen. And what I feel like the Lord wants to do is release just a fresh confidence, just a fresh boldness, so that you're going to leave this weekend and you're not just going to leave with some new information, but you're going to leave this place with an impartation of supernatural courage. Amen. There are like two people that would be into that tonight. All right. So go ahead and stand up to your feet. We're just going to do a quick impartation. I'm just going to release a prayer and a scripture out of Philippians 1:6. And then if you want further prayer, we have the most incredible ministry team. Just run up here. They'll slap their hand on you. But you're standing next to a very anointed person. Okay, so just put your hand on the person next to you, okay? Preferably on their shoulder, okay? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for an impartation tonight of supernatural confidence, supernatural boldness, that we would hear the word of the Lord and swiftly obey. So, Father, I thank you, Lord. You said that you were going to release an impartation out of Philippians 1:6, that our confidence would be in this. So declare this with me. My confidence is in this. All right, now let's say it a little bit more with a little more conviction. My confidence is in this, that he who began this good work is going to see it through to completion unto the day of Jesus Christ. Just lift up your hands and take it by faith right now. An impartation of fresh courage, fresh boldness, fresh fire right now in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all